The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Yeah, there's something wrong with you if that music doesn't get you a little bit excited. Henry Jones himself, Harrison Ford, turns 80 years old today, if you can believe it. Rory Cashin, entertainment editor at Joe.ie, is with me. You a big fan?
Oh, yeah. Like, anyone who says they're not a fan of Harrison Ford, I judge them immediately.
Oh, do you?
he's an icon. He's a legend. He's a living legend. There's not enough superfluous positive things to say about him.
Could I start with a strange question? Is Harrison Ford his name?
Harrison Ford is his name. It's his birth. I know there's a lot of famous people out there who have swapped names. Like, I think Michael Keaton's real name is Michael Douglas. But he had to change it because there already was a Michael Douglas.
You're joking.
No. So a lot of people brilliant. Out there who have had to change their name.
Because Harrison Ford is a stage name, isn't it?
It's such a fantastic, like it's an attention-grabbing name. And it's very all-American as
isn't it?
Which kind of perfectly encapsulates who he is.
Where was he from?
He was born in Chicago on this day in July 1942. So... yeah, like it didn't take him long to kind of get into the acting. Like his first big screen appearance was at the age of 24. He was in a James Coburn movie. I've got a very long name. Is Dead Heat on the Merry-Go-Round, which I have literally never heard of.
Dead Heat on the Merry-Go-Round.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Apparently it wasn't very good. But
I would say so if none of us have ever heard of it.
Yeah, but someone spotted him. He was playing a small role as a bellhop in it. It was like, okay. He's very good. So within a number of years, like very short amount of time, he had hooked up with George Lucas for American Graffiti.
Which is a great movie,
and people forget that George Lucas has a career outside of Star Wars.
Yes.
And that was one of those fantastic examples, but that was also where those two kind of ignited their...
So he's one of the... There's a big cast, great cast in American Graffiti. He's amongst them. Builds up this relationship, and then what, George Lucas goes and headhunts him, is it?
Pretty much, like 4 years later, Star Wars A New Hope comes out. I think... Harrison Ford had to be sold pretty hard on it because
really?
He was considering himself to be a pretty dramatic actor, and it was only when the inclusions of the likes of Sir Alec Guinness and some of the other like big name stars came in, he was like, okay, maybe this is something that like will be great, but I just can't see exactly what it is, how it's going to land. And of course, well, we got Star Wars. So.
And we got Han Solo. Let's take a listen.
Chewie, set 271.
What are you doing? You're not actually going into an asteroid field.
They'd be crazy to follow us, wouldn't they?
You don't have to do this to impress me.
Sir, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
Never tell me the odds. Many people have screamed, never tell me the odds, since that movie. Did this then... kind of catapult him to fame, to kind of global fame, or was he already famous after American Graffiti? Like, I want to kind of get a sense of how important this was.
Yeah, I think, like, again, he would have been famous anyway, but I think this was the movie that Hollywood sat back and was like, oh, he isn't just a good actor, he is a blockbuster star, because, like, he's very charismatic on screen, very handsome man, can act really, really well, has chemistry with pretty much anyone he shares the screen with. So... George Lucas's good buddy in Steven Spielberg was putting together his Indiana Jones movie and was like, I wonder if I can just poach him and put him in my film. And then, so Star Wars A New Hope came out in 77, from 1980 to 1984. So it's just 5 years.
Yeah.
In those 5 years, he had Raiders of the Lost Ark, Empire Strikes Back, Blade Runner, Return of the Jedi, and The Temple of Doom.
Oh, it's amazing that two of the biggest movie trilogies of all, although they're not trilogies, but we'll call them trilogies for the sake of it, of all time, that they were happening at the same time, and that one of them, you couldn't imagine it now.
No.
Like, imagine it would be like one of the huge stars from the Marvel universe.
Yeah. Also being in the DC universe.
Being James Bond or something at the same time. It just wouldn't happen. You wouldn't have Chris Hemsworth being Thor and James Bond together. But that was what happened.
Yeah, like the closest modern kind of example we had was when Ian McKellen was in X-Men and was also in Lord of the Rings. But because he was playing such different characters, where Indiana Jones and Han Solo have a lot of similar qualities in that they are the most adventurous and most you know, most brave man in the room, and also they can kind of talk themselves out of any given situation.
Lovable rogues. We have to play a little bit of Indiana Jones.
Give me the whip.
Throw me the idol. No time to argue. Throw me the idol. I throw you the whip.
Give me the whip.
Adios, señor.
It's obviously, this is great because, you know, sometimes movie clips don't work on the radio.
Sure.
But when it's a clip like that, people immediately are transported into that tunnel. They can picture exactly what's about to happen at the start of Raiders of the Lost Ark. Blade Runner as well, you mentioned.
Yeah, like at the time, it was a huge flop. Critics were kind of meh on it and the audiences didn't really go to see it. I think the world didn't want to see depressing sci-fi at the time, but decades later, it is maybe the most influential sci-fi movie of all time. You can't look at any film that is set in the future and not go, oh, that's a bit Blade Runner-y. That's the kind of future noir stuff. Well,
how long did it take? How slow a burn was Blade Runner?
Oh, gosh. I think it was maybe the 90s before people really came around on it, because Ridley Scott had just come off Alien in 79. And he had then made Blade Runner with Harrison Ford, and Harrison Ford and Ridley Scott famously did not super get along, and there's all these different variations, different director's cuts, that this version has a narrative or a narrator and this version doesn't, and this version ends with a unicorn and this version doesn't. So yeah, like there's...
Oh yeah, the origami unicorn. That explains everything.
Or does it?
Oh, does it really? Oh God.
Is he a replicant or isn't he? Like the fact that people still, we're now, what, 41 years later, and we're still like talking about it. And it ended up giving us a fantastic sequel that he came back for as well, just 2017, I think that one came out. So
that was a great movie with Ryan Gosling.
And also in the middle of all that, people might not know this, he was in E.T. and then Spielberg cut him out because he thought he was too famous.
No way, was he?
He was the principal of the school and he had one scene just as a favour because Spielberg's his good mate. But he was like, I think this actually might detract. People might be distracted by you suddenly appearing on screen. So they cut him out.
Oh, that's kind of fascinating. He, despite this kind of dalliance with action movies and sci-fi, even though kind of Blade Runner is a very serious movie, mm-hmm. it's still a sci-fi movie. He was still tipping away at the kind of dramatic acting thing, wasn't he?
He absolutely was. Like the next year after that run of huge movies, he obviously was like, I need to take a little break and just do something a bit smaller.
Mm.
And that's where we got Witness, that fantastic Peter Weir.
Brilliant movie.
Thriller. And it's the only time he's ever been nominated for an Oscar to this day, which is maybe people are surprised by.
Yeah. I'm surprised by that because Witness is brilliant. They're in this Amish community in Witness Protection. He's there kind of protecting this mother and child. Isn't it a mother and child who saw this this crime being committed? But he was in The Fugitive. That was nominated for a couple of Oscars.
But not him. No, it was nominated for Best Picture, which is shocking because it's a huge action movie and the idea of an action movie today being nominated for Best Picture, and this was back when you could only have 5 nominees as well. But Tommy Lee Jones went home with the Oscar for that, which I think is fair.
Yeah.
Like he was fantastic in the supporting character role in that.
It's going to be an exciting one. We still don't know for sure where he got that scar on his chin, do we?
I don't think so.
No.
I think there's a lot of theories.
No. But, that was one of the best things they did in Indiana Jones, though, wasn't it? When crack of the whip. Who was that? Who played? That was River Phoenix, no?
That was River Phoenix.
Yes, Indiana Jones, who got the cut in the chin. We still don't know where the actual scar came from. Listen, he turns 80 today. No sign of slowing down just yet. Though, as you say, maybe he's going to hand over the bullwhip and the hat in the next Indiana Jones movie. Rory, pleasure. Thanks a million for coming into us. Rory Cashin is entertainment editor at joe.ie. We'll get the news headlines now. Here's Eamon.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4. On News Talk.